We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome into Training Camp Insider here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Zach Streif, Bobby Hebert with you for the next hour. Taking a step inside of training camp, we're going to get a chance at about 6:10 to meet up with New Saint Emmanuel Sanders, wide receiver. But first, Bobby, and important, we just got off the phone earlier with Dennis Lauscha, and the big announcement this evening, the Saints announcing there will not be fans in the Superdome for the first home game. But something good to hear there. There is, and I think it's a great question, Bobby, is there going to be crowd noise? Is there going to be a way to have a virtual fan base? And it sounds like the answer to that question is yes, there will be some way for fans to participate inside the dome.
Well, what would be wrong with this, even though there's no fans, if Tom Brady's in the huddle and it's loud? Because the Who Dat Nation is going to get loud in the dome. I mean, you know, because it's all about communication and maybe wanting to disrupt that. So the NFL might say, well, that's a little too loud. Hell no. We are loud. We are loud. Kansas City's loud. Seattle's loud. Because it's all, to me, disrupting communication where maybe they have to use hand signals. You don't want Tom Brady to be able to come to the line and verbally be able to change the play. Because that's not realistic. Maybe in Tampa he could do that. But in New Orleans, you shouldn't be able to do that. So I'm interested to see that crowd noise and the factor, how you disrupt the opposing offense. Now, obviously, offensively, when you score a touchdown, the fans go crazy and all that. But just a crucial third down. Or you know, and critically, the fans know, the Who Dat Nation knows, to be loud when the opponent is in the huddle. Now, when the ball snaps, it doesn't matter if you're loud. You just play in the play. But it's all about disrupting communication. So I'll be interested to see game one, how that comes into play, because we are the home team. We're not playing in Tampa. We're playing in New Orleans. And we need to get off to a great start in the NFC South and to win the NFC South 4 years in a row. Think how hard that is to do. And wouldn't it be a great big feather in your cap, considering what we're all dealing with, that we start out 1-0 and not 0-1?
Yeah, you know, the home field advantage that you experience with the Saints is important. It's a vital part. But the other side of it too, Bobby, is it provides the atmosphere for the broadcast. And I'm not even just talking about ours, but you turn on television and there's no noise on the field. It's not going to feel like what it should feel. That you know, it different, I think, and more impactful than any other sport. The fans in football are a part of the game. It's just what it is. And so eliminating the fans is literally eliminating a part of the game. And so the NFL has no choice but to find a way to incorporate fans into an empty stadium. And, you know, you say, well, you can't do it, right? But there's a lot of technology in the world that exists.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ways, you know – listen, is any of it easy or cheap? No, it's not. But I think if there's a will, there's a way. And, you know, giving fans the ability to log into a live stream and have their voices, you know, amplified in the Superdome. You know, you watch the NBA games in the bubble. There's virtual video boards, and there's fans in those seats, and those people are watching on their computer. And so it will be interesting to see, you know, what all ends up, you know, getting used and how do they do it. But I think the positive thing is the New Orleans Saints are as good as anybody at creating a fan experience. And I think whatever they come up with will be not a replacement, but it will be something new and exciting for its fans.
Well, and Zach, you talk about the fan experience, but it's also the fan experience for the television audience.
Exactly.
Where you almost wish you were in that number. That's what makes the NFL so great, that when you're watching TV, you get goosebumps because, God, look at that atmosphere. But it is unbelievable. God, I wish I could be there. Maybe, For some reason, I couldn't get there. But, you know, I can tell you what, whether it's ESPN, NBC, CBS, you don't think the ratings, everyone's starving to sports, but that fan experience. See, you got to sell it not only in the dome, but you got to sell it at home. You got to sell it at home when people are watching TV that they feel like, God, look at that atmosphere. And hopefully, now, you might say, well, they're going to be smart enough to know it's not realistic, but you can get the noise and the atmosphere where you kind of experience in that through the television if you do it right. That's what I believe.
Yeah, and so that's the big task, right, moving forward. And listen, the Saints, we're fortunate, right? This isn't bad news. The Saints announced that they're not having fans for one game. Several fan bases have heard they're having fans for no games.
So, the Raiders, Jets, Giants, yep.
So, you know, at least we're at in a situation where we have a, you know, where it may end up working out. And when you get late in the season, when you, you know, that you'll have an opportunity to get some fans in there and to change, you know, that atmosphere in the dome and let it be more familiar because it is. It's an impactful change on the game itself. And so, you know, you gotta find a way to try to recreate that. Otherwise, it's going to feel like you're watching a scrimmage at practice.
Yeah, you're watching
Plus, Bobby, hold on. Plus, I'll tell you this. If they don't play noise, if there isn't something going on, they better get their bleepers ready. Because I hate to break this to people. There's a lot of language on a football field that you don't want on your broadcast. So if there's not some noise to cover that up, because there's definitely going to be microphones down there to hear the pads hitting and helmets and all those things, the sounds of the game will be mic'd up. You can't not catch up what people are saying, too. And if there's no crowds to block it out, boy, I don't know how they're going to handle that. Well, so there will be noise in that stadium.
Well, Zach, and even I think in the future, and I think the NFL is going to look over at this over the next decade. You know how popular the Red Zone channel is if you just love the NFL and you like to watch pro football? I think a pay-per-view or some type of channel where it's unlimited, adults only, so to speak, yeah. Where I think people would pay for that to hear that type of action and how brutal it is on the field. I mean, there'd be a market for that?
Well, yeah, of course there would be a market for that. Everybody would be fascinated. I mean, the number one question is, do guys talk a lot on the field, right? I mean, I get that question constantly. So, yes, there's definitely a market. The question is, does the league want that to get out into the public domain? I don't know if that's the case, but you never know. We're going to step away when we come back.
The rated X version of the NFL.
Right. When we come back and we can ask him his thoughts on it, Emmanuel Sanders, new wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints, we will check in with him. We'll be right back with more Training Camp Insider right here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Zach Streif and Bobby Hebert with our Training Camp Insider here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. WWL to call or text our show today. You can text our mortgage financial phone and text line 504-260-1870. And Bobby and I are joined now by Saints new wide receiver, Emmanuel Sanders. And Emmanuel, thank you so much for the time. I know y'all are busy in camp right now.
All right, thanks for having me.
Emmanuel, coming in as a veteran in this league, 33 years old this season, and really at a point where, you know, in the position you play where people could think that you're, you know, winding down here, but you really feel like so much of you know, your production in Denver had to do with the quarterbacks throwing you balls. And I think a lot of that, if I'm not mistaken, led you to seek out the New Orleans Saints and a player like Drew Brees. You expect to have a big year here this year, don't you?
Yeah, of course. You know, I expect to have a big year every year. You know, I've been working my butt off all off season. And, you know, you take Drew – I'm 33. You take Drew Brees, who is 40. And, you know, we expect to have big years no matter what. And I feel like we can do it because we have the right offense. We have the right pieces in place. And I don't see why we can't. And so that's definitely a mindset. You know, I'm excited to be a New Orleans Saints. You know, I'm joining the most winningest, you know, organization the past 3 years. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to just continuously adding more wins. And so that's why I'm here. And, you know, it's a pass happy offense, and I'm a receiver. And so, you know, hopefully I can catch a lot of balls, you know, in this system as well.
Now, Emmanuel, you look at all the quarterbacks that you played with. How do you describe Drew Brees, not only on the field but off the field, how he tries to communicate with you? Well, I was reading where he went out to Denver to personally talk to you. And I think you mentioned, boy, you go to a new city, it's a new environment, you're going to have new teammates. But you have to feel comfortable that Drew Brees did that and enabled to have that type of communication when you're coming to a new team.
Yeah, for him to do that, it just shows, you know, that veteran leadership. And it shows that he wants to win, and I want to win as well. So to be able to, you know, have him come out and for me, it was just huge, yeah, throwing with him, but also just, you know, coming into a new team, no OTAs or anything, but having someone that semi knows you, that, you know, you had an opportunity to spend 2 or 3 days with, it was comforting for me, you know. And so, you know, I appreciate him doing that. And like I said, like, I know what's all at stake, you know, this season. Like, we want to win it all. And, you know, I know sometimes, you know, a lot of people say, you know, you're not supposed to say that. But, you know, if you're coming into an NFL season, everybody should be playing for a Lombardi Trophy, and that's what we're playing for.
Now, Emmanuel, you have to feel comfortable in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, considering the game you had with the 49ers against the Saints. Just talk about that control environment, you know, playing outside in Denver, playing in San Francisco, a lot different than a dome environment. Boy, you surely excelled in that game. So now I know you got to be looking forward to that control environment, considering the game you had, because I think it's just human nature. Whenever you have a great game and an environment, boy, you look forward to play a number of games in that same type of
stadium. Yeah, that field is fast, and I love playing in that stadium. You know, I base it off from an energy standpoint. It's just great energy off in that stadium. So I'm definitely looking forward to playing in a lot of games, you know, in that stadium and being able to run fast, and, you know, cut and break down and don't have to worry about rain or wind or the sun in your eyes or anything of that sort. So, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Talking with Emmanuel Sanders, wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints. Emmanuel, what's it mean to play with a guy like Michael Thomas, a guy that commands so much attention and draws so much from a defense? What does it mean to play across from him and along with that with the guys like Alvin Kamara and Jared Cook as well?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, if you look on paper, we got everything we possibly need. Now it's time to put it all together. So that's what training camp is about. And, you know, it takes a group effort of guys working together and seeing if we can form something great. And it's not going to happen overnight, obviously. And it might not happen the first game or the second, but it's all about getting hot at the right time and taking off and playing together and playing for each other. And, you know, I'm the new guy on the team, but what I've seen so far is, man, these guys love to come to work every day, and they got the proper DNA to be a champion. So I'm excited about the whole process of seeing what we can attain.
Emmanuel, just how different has this year felt as a guy who's been around the NFL for a long time? You've been through training camps. Just how weird has this year felt with all of the new protocols, with all the things going on? And is getting out on the field with a helmet feeling just like it always has, or does it all just kind of have an odd feel this year?
Yeah, it's been different, because most of the time you report to training camp in 2 days, you're out running routes, and you know, got the pads on. Had the pads on by now, but you got your helmet on. You know, I've been out here 2.5 weeks. I got here I think like 3 Sundays ago, and you know, it's been different, because the first week we had to show up and just get our COVID test and go home. So I didn't meet the guys for like a week and a half, even though I was out in New Orleans. So then we got together, and we had to lift weights and we had to run. Because they just can't throw guys out there, because, you know, who knows, some guys might have not been training, you know, all offseason because of the COVID. And so, you know, we've been kind of, you know, jogging into the situation, which is smart, you know, instead of just, you know, feet hitting the ground running. And so, you know, I'm ready to, you know, play some football. And so thank God we were able to put the pass on today and get out on the field. And even though it was a walkthrough, it still felt good to be out there. And I think Friday is our first day going full speed, so I'm looking forward to that.
Now, Emmanuel, I think the first time we had you on, when we knew you were going to be in a Saints uniform, and talking about the process for the Houdat Nation, the fan base, so look at your background. Boy, 11-year veteran, 33 years of age. Just talk about where you came from in high school and at SMU with June Jones and all that, and how it gave you confidence to be the type receiver you are in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a small country town. If somebody would have said out of Belleville, Texas, a small country town like that, that I would play 11 years in the NFL at 178 pounds, soaking wet, and be a starting receiver. You know, I remember when I first came out, they said, yeah, he'd probably be a fifth or sixth receiver, probably a return specialist. And I used to always tell myself, like I never told anybody, I said, man, they're measuring my hands, they're measuring my feet, they're measuring everything, but they're not measuring my heart. They're not measuring my determination. And so, you know, I went to SMU, had an opportunity. I went to college, got a college scholarship, didn't even know if I was good at football or not. I was just passionate about it, and I was small. So I was like, all right, I'll go to college. Why not? They're offering me a scholarship, and I got there, and NFL wasn't even on my mind. I just was happy to go to college because where I come from, I was the first person in my family to even go to college. And so I got to college, and my first workout there, I was with a coach by the name of Larry Edmondson. He's seen a couple guys go in the league. He told me, he said, you got an opportunity to play on Sundays. And even then, I was like, what the heck? I was like, I don't know. This guy, I'm at SMU, small school. I don't know what he's talking about. But I just kept working and got an opportunity. And 4 years later, you know, I broke the SMU career record. You know, got drafted by the Steelers and been chugging along since. You know, I got into the league, like I said, and they said that I wouldn't make it past the number four receiver. And, you know, first year, went to the Super Bowl with the Steelers and got another contract with the Broncos and played with San Fran, and now I'm here in New Orleans. And truthfully, you know, it's the 11 years that went by fast, but I'm still that same kid out of Belleville, Texas, with the same passion to want to win and to want to ball and want to give my all, whether it's blocking a safety or going over the top and catching a bomb just to try to win. And so the moment that kid leaves me and I'm not the same kid from Belleville, Texas that loves playing ball, I'm going to retire. But right now I feel like I still got a lot more in the tank.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you just listen to that story and you're not now a huge Emmanuel Sanders fan, you can get out. The Houdat Nation doesn't need you. Emmanuel Sanders, thank you very much for the time, man. Really looking forward to seeing you guys out there. And best of wishes in camp, man. Stay healthy.
All right, thanks, bro.
Thanks, Emmanuel. He's a baller.
All right, stick around.
He's
more. He is a baller, Bobby. I'm glad we got him. Stick around for more Training Camp Insider. Myself, Bobby Hebert, right here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to Training Camp Insider. Zach Strief and the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, with you here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Just hanging up with new Saints wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders. And Bobby, you know, it's one of those things we've talked about it for several years. You know, up to this year, your big concern was a punt returner. Why can we not get a punt returner? Well, last year we got a punt returner, and the second concern is why can we not get someone across from Mike Thomas to take some of that pressure off? And finally, you know, the Saints have that guy. And, you know, I think, you know, Emmanuel, I think, is a really good fit. And you know, it's not just about a receiver or a guy that has a name that you've heard of or – you know, is there a guy that fits into what you're doing and what you do? And, you know, Emmanuel Sanders is an elite route runner. He's a really smart guy. He's really savvy. You know, he is not he's not a pure breakaway guy where you go, ah, well, you know, can we get the ball to him? He's going to fit into this offense with the tools they have now perfectly. And I think that's what's really important. Spent a lot of time in the slot in the past. You know, I think they're going to use him outside a lot more with as much as Mike Thomas spends in there, as much time as he spends. But, you know, really, when you take another dynamic athlete like Emmanuel Sanders is and plugs him into this offense, there's no way not to let him get in some space. he's going to have space to work, and that's what a guy
right. –
like you said, I'm 176 pounds soaking wet, right? He needs space. He needs room. And you can't always create that in offenses. And this one, space is going to be easy to come by because there's a lot of weapons on the field. He's going to fit in really well.
Well, all I know is if you're a Who Dat Nation member and we tape every game and we look back, man, he freaking burned the Saints. Look in that 49ers game what he did. Like, what? So you can't double-team everyone. Zach, I'm not even worried about, you know, okay, who's going to be opposite of Michael Thomas. I'm worried about, I'm a little spoiled now, who's going to be the number three receiver? Is Tre'Quan Smith going to step up and stay healthy? Is Emmanuel Butler going to step up and be that number three wideout? Because we know what Jared Cook and Alvin Kamara is going to bring to the table. So the bottom line is, if you take pride in your craft as a professional, and you know Drew's going to know where to go with the ball, we at least every game he hits eight different receivers, as much as 10 or 11 different receivers. So why not be that guy that Drew has confidence in you, that if you are single covered, you're going to win and you're going to get the football. So that's why now you have to have luck with injuries and all that. We have so many freaking weapons, it's scary. I'm telling you. How are we going to attack a defense? Opposing defensive coordinators, they're going to stay up past midnight, burn the midnight oil. We hear that all the time. Okay, what are we going to do? Because I think we're going to win in the trenches. Now, and then you throw in there, if we're able to run the ball, which I think we will, with Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray, then you do play action and all that. Listen, you could double-team Michael Thomas every play, and you're still going to get Michael Thomas the ball, but I'm telling you, somebody else is going to be open. Somebody else is going to be open, and I look at Drew Brees, an outstanding year to say the least. He set career highs. You talk about Drew Brees. How old is Drew Brees, 31? No, he's 31 years of age. He set career highs in touchdown-to-interception ratio, 27 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, the highest passer rating he ever had, 116. And a half, basically, 116.3. I'd be extremely disappointed if Drew Brees does not duplicate that because I think he's ready to roll. And when I look at where we're at right now and look at the turnover margin, and I know you got a soundbite of that with Sean Payton. If we do that again, we're going to four-peat. We're going to win the NFC South. If we could take away the football, Zach, think about this. Drew, we didn't fumble. Drew had, like I said, 4 interceptions. Well, we had 8 turnovers. That is single digits. That is unbelievable. Zach, that's unbelievable. Always said, I even gave Drew, well, if he throws about, I don't know, 7 picks, something around there, not double digits, where he doesn't feel like he always has to win the game, the Saints are winning. So I just like where we're at, and I know Drew knows the weapons and where he's at right now that – I don't know how we can be stopped, and I think our defense is going to be better. I know we have for sure top 10, I would say top 5 offense, I'd say in the top 3. And if we can and we kind of we can be in the top 10 defensively, how can we not win? How can we not win double digits? Now, what do you call winning? To me, I think if you win 11 games, that's a great season. But you ultimately want that number 1 seed to represent the NFC. How are you going to overtake the 49ers and all that? But we are road warriors. You might say, well, look, 49ers beat us in the Superdome. You know, we lost to the Vikings. Look at the Saints' season. Look at the Saints' record, I should say, what we've done on the road. The Saints know how to win on the road. We love the dome field advantage. We can win at home on the road. The bottom line, the Saints know how to win. And not to say we're going to go 14-2, 13-3. Sometimes you don't know how the ball's going to bounce. But, Zach, wouldn't you say – you'd be shocked or extremely disappointed if we don't get the double-digit wins. I mean, I'm saying 10 is the bottom.
Yeah.
They're going to be better
Bobby,
than that.
The roster is incredibly talented. They're insanely deep. They got better this offseason. This roster under double-digit wins is a massive disappointment. I think, quite honestly, anything under where they've been is a massive disappointment. Yes, winning 11
right.
games is a good season, and you should be proud of that season. This team won't. This team's won too many games, too many years in a row to not think that they have another step to take because they haven't been to the game they've tried to get to. And I think you know, the big thing this year. It is. Tron Armstead said it early in camp. It's Super Bowl or bust. I mean, anything else is an absolute disaster, and that's how those guys feel, right?
Amen, so, Zach.
We're
going to
step
right
away when
right
we
there.
Come. When we come back, more Training Camp Insider. You can give us a call on our Mortgage Financial phone and text line, 504-260-1870. Give us your thoughts. Lots more to come here. You're listening to the Training Camp Insider here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to Training Camp Insider here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. I'm Zach Street filling in tonight for Christian Garrick along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Bobby, we got to spend a little bit of time tonight with Emmanuel Sanders and talked a lot about his decision to come here, you know, what he thinks his role will be here. And, you know, one of the things that is beneficial, and I think it's probably very rarely talked about, but even to a guy like Emmanuel Sanders, who's a veteran, who's been around the game for a while now, and, you know, can he's still working, especially in a new system, to get better. And he's going up against an excellent secondary with the New Orleans Saints, with the corners that this team has, with Marshawn Lattimore, with Janoris Jenkins, Jackrabbit. He told me, don't call me Janoris Jenkins, it's Jackrabbit. So it's Jackrabbit, right? So Jackrabbit, Marshawn Lattimore, and even on the back end, Malcolm Jenkins coming back to the New Orleans Saints this year, along with Marcus Williams. He's facing a very talented group every day. And when we talk about getting game ready and being ready when the first game hits with no preseason, with none of the normal prep games that you have, having that type of competition across from you every day in practice is a huge benefit.
Well, and then you look at, I think, the experience we have at the nickel corner, you know, with P. Rob, hopefully he bounced back from his injury. P.J. Williams, you look at his flexibility. I think Justin Hardy, we think of him as, you know, a special teams guy, but plug and play, he's taking advantage of his opportunity. Now, I'm not even talking about the young guys, Keith Washington or Tino Ellis. They're going to be a lot of competition there. But when you look at the safety position, Malcolm Jenkins, I think, could be the quarterback on the back end of the defense. I think a lot of, expectations, considering what he's playing for, he's in a contract year, is Marcus Williams. He's now in his third season. He has started in every game he's played in. He's missed just two regular season contests. Now, when healthy, you look at him making plays. He's had, 13 pass breakups, 4 interceptions, 1 for a touchdown, and he's active. But the problem I have with Marcus Williams, and that happened in the Vikings game, is that make a play on the football on a deep play. Don't fall down. Don't fall down. Now, we all know what happened in the Vikings game, the Minneapolis Miracle, but it happened more than just that as of late. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Marcus Williams. If he wants to make get paid in the future, then you got to make plays and be truly a difference maker. I'd say the pressure is on out of all those guys, but corner or safety, I think it's on Marcus Williams, what he's going to do. Now, Marcus Williams is an NFL player. Von Bell's an NFL player. He's now playing with the Cincinnati Bengals. But I think if Marcus Williams is going to stay in the Saints uniform, they're going to invest in him. He has to come up big, and the bottom line is just taking away the football more, given that opportunity.
Sean Payton was asked about Marcus Williams in his press conference this afternoon. Mark, if you could pull up Payton 12.
He's someone we feel like that can turn the ball over. He's got good instincts and range. He can break, and each year we've been able to see that, his instincts on the back end. I think he's got to work on his tackling. He understands that, and he's got to be better in that area. But I think each season we've seen steps that have really helped our defense, and we like the combination now. When you start looking at smart players like him, Malcolm, you know, those guys on the back end that have played, I feel like you're now getting to a point where his experience is showing. And, you know, hopefully the ball production continues, and then he continues to work on you know, some of the things, like every one of these guys have got areas we want to really improve in. And I that's the one area I think that he needs to be better at. And I think he himself would say that.
Yeah, Zach, I'd say two things. Sean Payton said it, tackling. How do you tackle in space? You know, you could give up a play, but if you are the last man before an opponent takes it to the house, you got to trip him, do whatever. You got to get him down. You got to be able to make those tackles. I'm not talking about plug and fill. You look like Chauncey Gardner, Von Bell, even Roman Harper when you're in the box. I'm talking about in space. Being a good tackler and then making a play on the football when the ball's up in the air and not making those plays. Because that's the difference. Now, you want an interception, but you got to at least knock it down and not give up a big pass play. That's where I think Marcus, now he's quiet. He's a shy guy. I don't know. Zach, have you talked to Marcus? It seems like he maybe says a few words. He's not, you know, he doesn't do a lot of talking. There's nothing wrong with that. But I know in the secondary, that's why I think they brought Malcolm Jenkins on board, to get better communication and to be a quarterback on the back end of the defense, to show maybe Marcus Williams how it's done, to provide that leadership.
Well, you know, I actually don't think Marcus is all that quiet. He certainly doesn't seem to be around his teammates. And listen now, you know, Marcus Williams was brought in to be a rangy ball hawk free safety, right? I mean, that's what he was brought in to do. That was the attribute that people loved about him at Utah. He's got 10 interceptions in 3 years. So it's not like he hasn't been able.
And you know, Zach, when it hits his hands, he catches it. But sometimes he's not in position fit to hit his hands and catch it. He's not one that has brick hands. He does catch the ball, but whether it's angles or playing the flight of the ball at times, I just see him out of position. And now I think with all his experience, the Saints are expecting big things from him. He's in a contract year, like I said. He's three seasons. So it's not his first rodeo. He's played against meaningful, the best of the best. And I'm looking for him to take that next step.
Yeah. And listen, your fourth year in the National Football League is the year that you need to – you're going to go one direction or another, and it is a big year for Marcus. I'm sure he understands that. You know, but again, the Saints are not upset with four interceptions. They're upset with tackling. I think more than anything, Marcus Williams has been a guy who, when he's made mistakes, they've been big mistakes, and that can be tough to overcome. I think there's a lot of good in what Marcus Williams has done with the Saints. I just think when he's messed up, he's messed up on an epic scale at times. And, and you know, those things are hard to forget and hard to flush. But I do think they're really happy with his development and where he's at. And you know, listen, again, he goes out, he improves his tackling, and he has another four interceptions this year. Team's going to be really excited to have him. We're going to step away.
Yeah,
exactly. I'll get to you when we...
Before we go to the break, I want to mention one thing. My dark horse veteran, DJ Swearinger. I think he's just looking to be on the right team. He's an NFL veteran. Watch out for DJ Swearinger. And also the opportunities for Saquon Hampton. I'll tell you, that's another guy. Watch Saquon. They drafted him. I think they want him to succeed.
They were really high on Saquon last season before he got hurt in training camp, and it really kind of set him back. So that's a good point, Bobby. We'll step away. More Training Camp Insider right here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network when we come back. Welcome back to Training Camp Insider. I'm Zach Street filling in tonight for Christian Garrick along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and we are going to run to the phone lines. The Mortgage Financial phone lines. James in New Orleans, welcome to the show.
Hey, listen, guys. You know, I really want to talk about the first game. I really like to discuss the division as a whole, but the first game, and Zach, also your advice on the O-line with Ruiz being new to the line right now. I think he's better at guard for now than center. But what I really want to discuss the first game, nobody's mentioned this, but I got a sneaky suspicion Brady is going to treat Evans like Randy Moss. He's going to dink and dunk down the field with LeSean McCoy now and take advantage of our linebackers with those tight ends. He's going to try to get single coverage on Evans with Marshawn, and I don't think that's going to be a good matchup every time out. I mean, I know as good as Marshawn is, I think with Brady throwing the ball to Evans is going to be something to watch for in that particular game. What's your guys' thoughts on that one?
Well, listen, Mike Evans is a top wide receiver in the National Football League. He's a talented kid. He's been highly productive in Tampa Bay. And when you add a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback to any team, you're making everybody around you a lot better. And listen, they do have a lot of weapons. The one guy you mentioned that I don't think is going to play a factor is LeSean McCoy. Just like he didn't play a factor last year. I think at this point he's a name that people are hoping there's some lightning in a bottle left, but
He is shady.
That's true. He is shady. listen, they've got two very good tight ends in Rob Gronkowski and O.J. Howard. They've got two very good receivers in Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. That offense is going to be a pain in the butt. There's no question. You know, if you look, I think, at the skill positions in Tampa Bay, you say something very similar to what you say when you look at the New Orleans Saints roster, and that is how in the world do you cover all those people? How do you deal with that? The difference between the two is I think that the Saints have an edge in the offensive line. I think that the Bucs offensive line has been functional, but I don't think that that's an elite group. I do think that it's going to be a game where the Saints are going to have their hands full. There's no question about it. They're going to have their hands full with the Bucs. That's a run defense that was outstanding last year. The Saints, quite honestly, probably ran the ball against them better than anybody. Still wasn't great. But that's a game you're going to want to control the clock. You're going to want to try to keep that offense off the field. But it's the exact same thing that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to do. And so sometimes when you see games and you see all that firepower and you think to yourself, man, you're not going to be able to stop everybody, and yet you're going to have two offenses, I think, that are trying to control – they're going to try to control the football. They're going to try to hold on to it. And I don't know if it's going to be as explosive offensively as we all think it's going to be.
Well, who's plus one when the game's all said and done? The turnover margin. Who could be plus two? Who can limit their mistakes, maybe take away the football, could be the difference. And I would say right now, I would challenge the Saints defensive line to kick Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive lines behind. Because I tell you what, Zach, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was two dominant performances. Tampa Bay got embarrassed by the Saints. You might say when they turned the corner in the latter part of the season. Last year, the Saints whooped the Buccaneers not only once but twice. Now, the Bucs know that. The players know that. So I think who's going to win in the trenches? You know, we all look at the ball and the flight of the ball and the skill position and all that. But who's truly disruptive? Who's winning in the trenches? Whether you have some semblance of a running game, whether it's the Saints or Tampa Bay, and then what defensive front can make plays. So you might want to watch the football, but like you said, we think it's going to be whoever has the ball last is going to win, a high-scoring affair. But I would challenge the Saints' defense. And I know Tampa Bay will challenge their defense, considering how successful the Saints' offense has been. But I think when it comes down to, and when you look at the film, or when you look at what's happening, you know, as a fan, we follow the football, but who's truly dominant in the trenches? You know why we lost to the Vikings in the playoffs? We got whipped up front. Come on, Zach, you know that. The Vikings D-line whipped us. I'm telling you. A lot of times, what happened in that game? That's why I think it's going to be the same thing with Tampa Bay. I truly believe if we win in the trenches, we win in that game.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay, you know, spends their first-round pick this year on Tristan Wirfs, the tackle out of Iowa, and so his first appearance on an NFL field is going to be opposite of Cam Jordan. And I'm sorry, he's a talented young man. I do think he's a little bit I don't think he's long enough to play tackle in this league. I'll tell you that, Bobby. I think he's a little undersized in the length. Cam Jordan's an awfully tough draw in week one, whether there's fans in the stands or not. I think that's where it's going to be. But this is going to be a lot of fun to watch. That game is going to be entertaining. I think we're all looking forward to it. We want to squeeze in one more caller here. Let's go to Sam in West Wego.
Hey, you got me?
Gotcha. What do you got, Sam?
We got you, Sam. What you got?
All right, little brother. I think you ought to cancel that first game. That cancel.
Well, why you want to cancel it?
Because they ain't got enough people in the crowd. People, they ain't got enough people in the crowd. By the time they get to Tampa Bay, when they go to play Tampa Bay, how many people could be in that stand? What we got over here? Nothing? We're playing drums?
Well, it doesn't matter. Listen, you're going out there as a professional athlete and you're competing. And realistically, the fans do make a difference. They don't feel advantage. The Saints have played also on the road. And we played awesome at home at times. But you know what? When you're competing man-to-man, who's going to win? I think that's enough challenge when you're dealing with pros. So what, would you just want us to cancel the game? I don't understand that. And when you got the potential of Tampa Bay and the Saints are the top dog in the NFC South and the Buccaneers are trying to catch us, I mean, that's what it's all about. We're not going to cancel nothing. Come on. I don't know what you're talking about.
And to be honest with you, Bobby, the Saints have actually played the Bucs better in Tampa over the last few years than they have in New Orleans. So we better be okay with the fact there's no fans because they haven't seemed to help against Tampa over the last few years, and they're used to playing in front of nobody in Tampa Bay. So again, it won't be as big of an issue.
You remember Zach? What was that? 2 years ago? Fitzmagic? He was like a Hall of Famer. Remember that game he had? So, and that was in the dome. So, hey, just go out there and compete.
All right, everyone. You've been listening to Training Camp Insider here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. We appreciate you joining us. Catch us Monday through Wednesday, 6 to 7, for Training Camp Insider right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.